Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
Star Wars 7x7 episode 3520. All right, it's happened. The big three-episode season premiere of The Bad Batch has dropped. Today, we're going to start our conversation around it by giving you a seven-takeaway breakdown of the entirety of that season premiere. So yeah, we're going to go crazy and cover all of it in one big shot. And then over the next few days, we'll dig deeper into the individual episodes. Punch it. Hey Rebel Rouser, I'm Alan Voivod and this is Star Wars 7x7, your daily dose of Star Wars joy, and thank you so much for joining me for it. So over the next few days, we're going to be talking about the giant wallop of a season premiere of The Bad Batch, three episodes we got, and we'll start today with one of our typical seven takeaway breakdowns, except we're going to do it thinking about the entirety of that three-episode season premiere. And over the next few days, we'll talk about the individual episodes. We'll dig deeper into all of that. So for our first takeaway, we'll start with the fact that, as we had talked about in previous episodes, that this might perhaps be sort of a story arc in and of itself, because in a similar situation with the Andor series, when they gave us the first three episodes all at once and constituted one clean story arc, and it was sort of like that, kind of. I mean, it certainly had a distinct beginning, middle, and end in a sense, because we had the escape of Crosshair and Omega from Wayland and Mount Tantus. But that beginning, middle, and end really took place within only two episodes, the first episode and the third episode. The second episode was a standalone adventure, building on the history of what's happened in The Bad Batch, but seeing where Hunter and Wrecker are after the events of season two. I think I might have felt it a little more fully if they had kind of intercut between, so if we'd seen some of Wrecker and Hunter in that first and third episodes, but I see why they made the distinction and kept them separate. So in a way, it almost feels like a prologue with The Bad Batch and a two-episode story arc with Omega and Crosshair and Mount Tantus. So that's that. For a second takeaway, we'll talk about how long Omega has been in captivity. So we get the answer to that in that very first episode. We see Omega making hash marks on the wall. Looks like she does it at the end of every day. And later on in that first episode, we see that there are rows with 30 marks in a given row, and there are five of those rows, and she's already started a sixth row. So we are into her sixth month of captivity by the time we get into the meat of these three episodes. And we hear from Hunter that this is too long, which of course, you know, even one day in the Empire's captivity is too long, naturally. And speaking of the Bad Batch, for our third takeaway, we find out that the Bad Batch has been chasing down leads, trying to do what they can to locate Omega. They don't know where she is, and they weren't able to trace where the transmission came from that the Crosshair sent at the end of season two. But the thing to flag is that Hunter is actually starting to get desperate and impatient. This is out of character for him, because it has been as long as it has that Omega's been gone. He doesn't want to wait for Rex and Echo to show up as backup when they get that information from the Durans and decide to go investigate that lab. They're still as daring and competent as they were when we last saw them, but they are also perhaps, or at least Hunter, is getting a little bit more reckless. And it's interesting to hear Wrecker be the voice of reason and try to tell Hunter, hey, yeah, you know, the last time we went without backup, not all of us came back, which was just a quiet reference to Tech, and it's not enough to get Hunter to think twice. Then on the other side of things, for our fourth takeaway, we have Omega and Crosshair, and the dichotomy between the two of them really is striking, where Crosshair is telling her, like, if I had a chance to escape, I wouldn't be coming after you. And she says, well, if I had a chance to escape, I'm coming for you. I'm not leaving here without you. Now, later on, Hemlock refers to her as idealistic and just as a child, and you could make an argument for that being the sort of rationale, or her, you know, I'm not leaving without you kind of situation, but there's also actually kind of a gender thing there as well, just a very selfish kind of thing being espoused by Crosshair versus, you know, a very compassionate and inclusive thing being espoused by Omega. But she finally breaks through to him, and that is a major big deal. Then we have, for our fifth takeaway, Dr. Royce Hemlock, who is turning out to be every bit the bad guy that we hoped he would be. He is just a perfect, terrible foil for everybody to fight against, and it just makes it all the more desirable to see him have a tremendous fall by the end of this season. Not only is he keeping Omega captive in order to get Nala Se to cooperate, but he's also threatening very gently, I guess, but probably would do something unkind to Omega to get Nala Se to work faster, to get Omega to comply. He's threatening Crosshair. And then there's this vault with whatever specimens he has locked up, which we don't get to see what those quote-unquote specimens are, but I have a feeling the answer to that is really not a good one. And we learn that his ambitions are much bigger than just this cloning project that he's working on for Palpatine, that he wants to be a minister of science for the Empire and unleash glory, which, you know, heaven only knows what that means. And the sixth takeaway is a surprising one. I don't think any of us necessarily saw an escape by Omega, let alone Crosshair, this early in the season. So this sets up kind of a cat and mouse situation, although it's more like a rancor and a mouse, basically, because Hemlock says he's got the entire Empire at his disposal to track down Omega at this point, which he probably does. So the fight's definitely coming to the Bad Batch and Omega and Crosshair, which means that at some point to counteract it, they're gonna have to turn around and bring the fight back to Hemlock themselves. And for our seventh and final takeaway, the new burning question that we have for the rest of the season is, how will Omega and Crosshair reconnect with Hunter and Wrecker? So Hunter and Wrecker, at the end of these three episodes, they know the sector where Royce Hemlock's lab is, but there's a lot of space to search there. In the meantime, Omega and Crosshair have to get out of the system, but where they might go, who knows? And they're gonna have to keep their heads down for a while to avoid detection by the Empire, because now the Empire's hunting for them too. So their reunion might not be immediate. It might be a few episodes before all of the members of the Bad Batch are finally together again. And that's what I've got for you on our 7 takeaway breakdown about the season premiere, the 3-episode season premiere of season 3 of the Bad Batch. And that's gonna do it for this episode of the show. If you enjoy the show, I hope you'll consider, if you haven't done so yet, leaving a rating or review, hitting the subscribe or like or follow or join button, whatever the app offers for you, and tell your Star Wars friends, please, that, hey, there's this cool podcast called Star Wars 7x7 that's almost 10 years old, and it's really worth a listen. That would be awesome. And if you want to help support the show, you can actually be a part of supporting the production of this show and the delivery of it to you on a daily basis and to people around the world. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/SW7X7. And that's where you'll find out all about it. And it just remains for me to say thank you so much for joining me for this episode, as always, and may the Force be with you, wherever in the world you may be.
7x7 is not endorsed or sponsored yet by Lucasfilm Limited, Disney, or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. May the Force be with them. All original content is copyrighted by Star Wars 7x7. We hope you love it.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England. not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.